Welcome to everybody.
Morning.
Right. So, just to say that this time together will include songs, prayers, readings, and a message by somebody different this morning. Interesting. Unfortunately, we haven't got any coffee or tea at the end. Sorry. So when introducing the songs, if you are not able to stand, then just stay seated and enjoy them. Otherwise, if you'd like to stand and join in, that's great. The collection is intended for regular attendees of the fellowship, but feel free, if you're not, to give. And also feel free to let the bags and the tin pass by, because many of the people in the congregation will be giving it electronically anyway. And the bags are for the work of the church, and the little pots are for the sponsored children. So let's begin. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Well, welcome everybody. Thanks for getting here this morning. It's that sort of strange time, isn't it, between Christmas and New Year. So it's good to see you. Let's just start in prayer. Let's just give this time to God. Thank you, Lord, that we can come and meet with you. And that's really good. And it's really good to come together to support and encourage each other. And most of all, Lord, we come together to praise and worship you. And I pray that this time would be about you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Right, we're going to start
Psalm 40, the first 8 verses. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of all your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. Amen.
Thank you, Vera. Such a lovely psalm, isn't it? Reminding us of what God wants of us and so encouraging to us. We're going to have some more encouragement now. As you know, we've been doing a messy church this year, and as some of you won't have experienced it, I thought we'd bring it to you. So just a couple of minute video here, just to give you a little taster of what it's like at Messy Church. Thank you.
Thank you.
So hopefully that's given you a bit of a flavour of what we did. As you saw on the video, it was a mixture of making stuff and just having good time together, but also singing a God-based song, or having a video in the Christmas one. We had a little nativity video, which was lovely. And Alistair gave a message as well on most of them, I think, as well. So that was really good. So it was primarily aimed at bringing in families with young children. And we did indeed succeed there, I think. Lynn did some leafleting down the street on the final one, and that brought in a couple of the local families in the street, which was super. And so it's quite likely that we'll do more Messy Church in the new year. So if you want to get involved, that'd be great. Or you can do a star appearance if you want and just come along or be part of it for one session. You don't have to commit to 20-year contract. Okay, we're going to carry on praising God now. We're going to have a time of worship, and it'll be interspersed with Bible readings and prayer times in between songs. So please do feel free to sit and stand as you wish. Okay, thank you.
This child secretly comes to spend the night of this child. I need a heavenly light of this child coming to us like a stranger. This heavenly child, this child, heaven come down not to be with us here. Heavenly love and mercy up there, softly and all of wonder come near. This heavenly child, this child rising on us like the sun of this child, given to light every one of this child, guiding our feet on the pathway to peace on earth. This child, heaven come down now to be with us here. Heavenly love and mercy up here.
Gospel of Luke. Thanks.
Just got an assault course to go through first. Right, the readings from Luke 1. Verses 46 to 55, and it's entitled Mary's Song Glorifies the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. Has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he had promised our ancestors. Here endeth the reading.
We're going to carry on praising now. I'm going to sing another song.
And thanks to Almighty God. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord, in this season of the year, Lord, where we just celebrate, Lord, Jesus, Lord, being born, coming into this world, Lord, and being our Saviour. And Lord, to us, Lord, that know Jesus and that are Christians, Lord, that is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. Wonderful Counsellor, Almighty God, Prince of Peace. Lord, we thank you that you came, Lord, to bring us peace, to bring us your salvation. Lord, to just be with us, Lord, as Lord, our comforter in times of trouble. And Lord, we just celebrate this morning and this season of goodwill, Lord, that you are here with us in every situation. And Lord, so we just thank you, Lord, for this time of year, Lord, that's coming to an end, Lord. And sometimes, Lord, as we look back on a year, we have good times and we have bad times. But Lord, through all the bad and the good, Lord, you have been with us. You are our steady rock. Lord, you are the one, Lord, that we lean to, we come to, we bring all our troubles to. And Lord, you are always there. You never turn us away. And so we just thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we just give you praise and worship. And we just say, Lord, that we do adore you. We do love you so much. And that, Lord, you have given us so much in this life. And Lord, we've seen, Lord, your handiwork in so many things, Lord, in the stars, in the planets, in the universe. Lord, you are Creator God. You are so many things, Lord, to each one of us. And we could go on forever, Lord, and ever, just, Lord, thinking about all you mean, Lord, to each one of us in different ways. And so it is, Lord, with humble hearts this morning that we just stand in awe of you. And Lord, we just honour you. We praise you. We glorify your holy name. Unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For Lord, sending Jesus. Amen. I'll just sing now. Oh, come, let us adore you.
Some prayers now.
Yes, so let's bring our prayers of intercession before our God. So come as you feel comfortable in your prayer. Some like to bow their heads, some like to raise their eyes, and some like to raise their arms in supplication. Just pray as you feel most comfortable. So, Father God, we come before you now and bring our prayers of intercession. We praise you as the most high God, creator of heaven and earth, name above all names. We thank you for choosing us to be your representatives on this earth. We thank you that you provide all we need to fulfill that commission. You are Jehovah Jireh, the one who supplies all our needs. You are Jehovah Rapha, the healing God. And Jehovah Shalom, our God of peace. We thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to die, that we would be reconciled to the Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are part the Spirit of God on the earth and are with us at all times. We thank you that you are the faithful ones, just waiting to engage with us in our daily lives. We bring our church family before you now. There are so many needs for healing and restoration. We ask that you would be with each one of those in need. Lord, you know them by name, so we ask that you would bring your healing touch to each one and be to them all that they need at this time. We specifically ask your touch for George and Kay Bayliss, their grandson John and his wife and their great-grandchildren yet to be born. We pray for Jill's son Chris, Judy's nephew Zach, Sue Gabrielson's brother Bruce. We pray that by the Holy Spirit's prompting, they would draw near to you and enjoy your comforting presence and the reassurance that you can bring. Father, we bring our church to you at this time as we have far-reaching decisions to make concerning church buildings and also the replacement for Alistair as he retires next year. We pray that your Spirit would bring wisdom to this church so that the right decisions, your decisions, are made. And Father, we bring our nation before you at this time. We have seen such disquiet in our politicians. We pray that you would overrule and bring peace, justice and stability into our society. So Father, we would just ask that you would touch our world with your healing love and help us to face up to and deal with the climate emergency that we all face. We pray for wisdom for world leaders to agree on equitable policies that will bring about positive changes to our climate and save this planet we call home. We also pray that you would overrule in the many areas of conflict in our world. We think particularly of Ukraine, Gaza, Sudan, and Myanmar. We'd ask that you soften hearts and bring about a just peace in those lands, and also the many other areas of the world suffering conflict at this time. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, we just pray for Susie now as she brings your word. Just pray that you would bless her, that your Spirit would be upon her, and that we would hear your word through her voice. Yes. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Brian.
Morning again.
So this morning... Are you going so quickly? This morning, what I wanted to do was just to bring some cheer to us so that we can start the new year with a really positive attitude. It's all change. Alistair dropped the bombshell that he's retiring. And so for us, that means we lose Alistair as such a wonderful minister that he's been to us. And now we have to go through a period of no minister. And then we need to find someone to replace him. So that's all change, isn't it? Which is quite, we're not good with change, are we? We like things to be the same. We like security in knowing what's going to happen next. And that today will be the same as it was yesterday. So we like the comfort of no change. But in the reading that Stu read to us, Mary's song, Mary embraced change because what she saw was a Messiah who was coming that was going to bring about massive change, because at that time the Jews and the rest of the Mediterranean world were under the thumb of the Romans, which was really not good because they... they were in charge, and so people couldn't do what they wanted to. And also they taxed the people. So it wasn't fun being part of the Roman Empire, unless you were Roman, when it wasn't quite so bad. So Mary was embracing that change, that a Messiah was coming, even though for her personally, it was going to be a really rough ride. I mean, she was going to be, what? I'm not even married, I'm a teenager, and now you're going to tell me I'm going to have a baby. That's pretty frightening for her and all that goes with that. But in that song, she embraced the change, didn't she? And that's a very courageous thing. And we've all got different things that are coming upon us in the new year for change. I've just retired, and so it's all change for me. Because, of course, I'll have all this free time. Not. So, lots of change ahead. And how are we going to navigate through it? Can I have the next slide, please? When we look at God's word, we shouldn't be surprised about change, and we should embrace change, because God says, I'm making all things new. This is from Revelation. John had these visions when he was on Patmos that God gave to him about what's coming up, what's in the future for us. And God's saying here, behold, I am making all things new. So we should be embracing change because it's a sign of better things ahead. Change for the good. So the next slide. Thank you. And Paul as well in Corinthians said, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything about us that is old has passed away and everything is new. We are a new creation. And again, we embrace that change, don't we? And that it's change that isn't just in that instant when we accept Jesus as our Saviour, but then it's that ongoing changing, isn't it, as he moulds us into the people he wants us to be. And it can be fairly instant for some people, and they're bright and shiny new Christians and perfect, or fairly perfect. But for some of us, it's a real slog, isn't it, to actually become the people that God wants us to be. Okay, let's have the next slide. What's the next slide? Okay, we've lost the last word. The good news is that we don't have to do becoming new or changing on our own. It's a group thing as well. Because we have each other and we're all part of God's kingdom, the kingdom of God. And here it says, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees here, and he says, the kingdom of God isn't coming with things can be observed. It's the kingdom of God is among you. It's within the people who have got it, who have realized that Jesus is the Messiah and have accepted his way and his will for us. And so it's a complete change as a group. We don't do it on our own. We do it together. We are the kingdom of God. Okay. I wanted to give you a few rays of hope as well, with examples of things that are new, that are game changers. Because sometimes we see so much, so many awful things around us, so much conflict, and so much evidence of global warming that it looks really bad, doesn't it? And we can get really downhearted, and we think, what can we do? We're just, you know, a few people, and how are we going to bring about any change when everything else is just falling apart? And so I just wanted to give you some examples of people who have made real change. Thanks, Mark. This is a lady called Charlotte Maguire. Did anybody see on the telly the Earthshot Prize documentary? Thank you, Stu. I know you've seen it because you were sitting next to me at the time. If you haven't seen it, watch it on catch-up telly if you can, because it's really uplifting. It's the Earthshot Prize was set up by Prince William, and he was inspired by John F. Kennedy, who set up the Moonshot Challenge to get somebody to the moon. And the Earthshot Prize was to basically address various aspects of our planet to make it better, to stop global warming, amongst other things. And Charlotte Maguire founded Mukuru Clean Stoves, and she's in Kenya, in Nairobi, and she's from the slums. She's just a kid from the slums. And she said when she was setting up this project, she says, no, I had no fear of failing. I was already at the bottom. There was nowhere further for me to fall. She was in the slums. And yet she managed to do something. She must have inspired other people. And together, a little group of them came up with a better stove. If you'd just like to put the next slide. That's it, lovely. This little stove is a game changer for the slums around Nairobi. Doesn't look much, but what was happening was people were cooking on open fires in the slums, in their little shack, so no chimney, and all this smoke was just filling their little shack and giving them really bad health conditions, a lot of lung cancers and other really serious health conditions. And not only that, but they were paying a lot of money for fuel to cook on because it was terribly inefficient little open fire. So this little device is made out of recycled materials, and it's a little insulated stove, so you put your wood inside it, and it's a whole lot more efficient, and it doesn't produce loads of smoke. Such a simple thing, and yet you know, they've managed to do it. And the previous slide showed all those stoves behind Charlotte, didn't it? And she's churning them out. And not only are they doing that now, they're actually producing like pellets of wood. When I say pellet, I don't mean something that's like briquettes of fuel that they can burn. And it's made out of vegetable matter from the harvest. So now people can bring their vegetable matter to this little company and get some money for it. Brilliant. A bit of more money for those who are in abject poverty, and then they can burn, hopefully not, they can make their dinner using this recycled material. So a really good luck story, isn't it? It's a really good story of something that can inspire us. Just flick to the next slide, would you? These guys are Rodrigo Garcia Gonzalez. What do you think of my Spanish pronunciation? And Pierre Paslier. So they're two guys that met together when they were in London at college, and they came up with this idea of using an alternative to plastic. You know, when you get takeout food and you'll have it in a cardboard tray, but it will be plastic lined so that the whole thing doesn't just fall apart, it doesn't go soggy. So they've come up with this great idea of using a film that isn't plastic, that's made out of seaweed extract. Can you just stick up the next slide? Yep, lovely. So it's made from seaweed, and they get, have you heard of alginate or carrageenan? They're alginates. So you get it in ice creams and things like that. But it's a seaweed extract, and it's really good because at one point it's in a solution, and then you mix it with calcium chloride and it solidifies, and you can use it then as a sheet. And so you can coat cardboard with it. Brilliant. And it's biodegradable, fully biodegradable. So no single-use plastic. How good can it get? And you can make capsules for liquids with it, and you can make more solid things like spoons and things like that. So again, this is a really inspiring story of two guys who decided to do something, and they've made a world of difference. And they're now, I think, oh yeah, they've just made more than 1 million takeaway food boxes for the takeaway platform that you'll have seen on the telly, Just Eat. So, you know, the takeaway companies are embracing that technology. Isn't that wonderful? Stick the next one up. This lady, did you notice actually that the age of the previous two, lots of people that were very young, weren't they? And it's these youngsters, these young entrepreneurs that have got the energy and the motivation to make these things happen. This lady, she decides to do a PhD in her 60s, so she's now 70. And she has developed a marvellous fibre out of the waste material from pineapples. So you see the pineapple there in the top left. So all that vegetation just goes to waste, or they burn it. They don't use it for anything. And she's worked out a way of using it just like you would use linen fibres or cotton. They're both they're plant-based, and this is just another plant-based material. And so the pineapple growers, again, they win because they can sell their waste vegetation. And this lady's turned it into something that's approaching leather. And it's really taking off in fashion houses because she's selling it as a vegan leather. So it's really hip and trendy. But it's a marvellous alternative, isn't it? Something that's more has less impact on the planet. In actual fact, it has a positive impact on the planet. So those are really some really good examples that should inspire us to do things new, to embrace new things, because these people embrace things new. I mean, this lady, she was already a very successful entrepreneur making high-end leather goods for people like Harrods. And yet she decided, oh, I'll do something different. I'll make things out of pineapples. And there we have this beautiful pair of shoes, which she made out of pineapple leather. These are examples of people who haven't necessarily done it in the name of Jesus, but they have done something that has changed the world and made it into a better place. But there are similar initiatives, aren't there, that have been done by people because God has called them to it. Let me just get my slides in order. And all the big names, thank you, Mark, have started from small beginnings. Can anybody tell me any of those, how they started? Anybody got any inside information on any of those? Oh, go on.
The third one was the Evangelical Alliance Relief Fund.
Yes, thank you. And that's what it stands for, isn't it? TEAR is an acronym from the Evangelical Relief Fund. And so it started as an initiative. Hold on a minute, I've got a bit of information on that. Yeah. And it was one guy who was a curate, George Hoffman, who became the main founder of that relief fund. And then it soon changed to TEAR Fund. So it just really took off. But, you know, it just took one guy. And it wasn't like he was an affluent or famous person. He was a curate. So he was fairly low down in the pecking order, if I can say that about curates. But you know, he wasn't like, you know, at the top end and therefore had lots of influence. He was just somebody who cared so much that he made it happen. Save the Children. This was a couple of sisters, Eglantine Jebb and Dorothy Buxton. Heard of them? Nope. Okay. And they set up a fund in 1919. And they were women of faith. I think they were in the Quaker movement. But they were, I think it was Dorothy, but she was so incensed by what was going on. This was 1919, straight after World War One, and Britain and other countries were still maintaining blockades of supplies to the to places like Germany. And so people were dying of malnutrition and kids were suffering in places like Berlin and Vienna because food and supplies wasn't getting through because we were actively blocking them. Let's face it, we just conquered them. But it was actually damaging the children. And so Dorothy Buxton, she protested about it and got locked up. She went to court. And I think the solicitor for the prosecution was so impressed with her that he paid her fine. And she went on with her sister to set up this fund to save the children. And it was because of that. So that's how Save the Children started. Christian Blind Mission, started by a German pastor in Turkey. He was walking in Turkey and he just saw children that were deaf and blind and unable to walk. And his heart went out to them and he decided to do something about it. Again, he was somebody that wasn't particularly affluent, but he brought about the start of a movement, an initiative that has changed thousands of people's lives. If you're not aware, Christian Blind Mission, they do a lot of work, cataract operations, and these are life-changing. You go from being able to not being able to work to being able to work and support your family. And for children as well, you get a lot of early-onset cataracts due to other issues, and so they're having cataract operations, and it just means they have a whole new future ahead of them because of that. Christian Aid. Now, this was after the Second World War, this was set up. And it was founded by, it was British and Irish Churches, the British Council, this is a really catchy title, the British Council Interchurch Aid and Refugee Department. That was really not going to catch on as a catchy phrase, was it? And that was an organisation that was set up in 1945 to help refugees after World War II. So again, it was in response to people just, you know, there were refugees that had no country, no home, no nothing. And these people were inspired by God to say, no, we're not going to let this happen. We're going to do something about it. Janet Lacey was somebody who was very instrumental in that. It's nice to have a woman in that was a woman's name mentioned. So I thought I'd introduce you to Janet Lacey. And this was in the 50s and 60s. And she worked for the organisation. She was responsible for renaming it Christian Aid. And she established Christian Aid Week, which is still one of the most productive fundraising activities nationally. And she also managed, in the time that she was there, I think she was there about 15 years, and she managed to raise their income from 25,000 per annum to 2.5 million per annum. So that's just how effective she was in that organisation. And she also founded VSO, Voluntary Service Overseas. So again, it's just one person who's decided, I'm not going to stand for this, I'm going to make a difference, I'm going to do something new. Are you all right? Is it okay if I run through the last couple? Compassion. 1952, Reverend Everett Swanson. He was in Korea, South Korea, I think. I don't think, was there a North and South at that time? Probably not, probably just Korea. And these orphans, he noticed bundles of cloth being swept up by the road sweepers into the dust cart in the mornings. And then he realised these were children who had died overnight due to cold and malnutrition because they were on the street with no food. And what he did was he set up Contraction, and more than that, he set up a sponsorship program so people could sponsor specific children to make that connection even better between those of us who have got who have been so lucky to have the opportunities to those who have nothing and are on the streets just because of their circumstances. And finally, one close to home, United Christian Broadcasters. And their studios are still just outside Stoke, if anybody's been there recently. Yeah. I went for an interview there once. And the thing I can most remember about it is parking up and seeing a field full of field fairs. And I'd never seen field fairs before. So if you don't know what a field fair is, it's like a large thrush. this was started by a guy called Ian Mackey, who had gone over to New Zealand and heard a Christian radio station over there and thought, oh, why can't we do that? So he came back and the Broadcasting Association or whatever it is says, no, you can't do that. We cannot have a Christian broadcasting service. It's not on. We haven't got the wavelength and we're not doing it. But he didn't take no for an answer. He carried on and fought for it and finally got onto the airwaves. And, of course, now UCB is available as a digital radio station. I think they've got a couple of radio stations. So, again, he believed God was asking him to do that. And all of these people are inspired by their Christian values and believe that this is what they needed to do. This was the new thing they were going to do. And they were little people, mostly, who have managed to make a difference. They weren't necessarily big, influential people who started something new. Next slide, Mark. The kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And this is Paul speaking here to the Romans, and he's saying it's not about what you eat and drink. It's not about sticking to rules. It's not about rituals. It's about being God's people in a different way. So how do we do that? How do we live as these new inspired people in God's kingdom? Thank you, Mark. And you'll all know this passage quite well. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" And Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.'" And that is a phrase that the Jewish people will use over and over again. It's very much a daily prayer for them to remind themselves that this is the most important thing. And the second is this: you shall love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, "You're right, teacher. You have truly said that he is the one. He is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbour as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." So, as God's people living in the kingdom of God, these are the most important commandments for us. So just how will we love God with all our heart, with all our understanding, with all our strength? What does that look like for us? I think for me, and I can only speak for me, it's about me spending time with God. Me praying with God, to God, me trying to live in a manner that he wants me to. It's about getting to know him better. And for me, that's about reading the Bible and chewing it over with others. That's really important for me, to chat about and discuss. What does that mean? And we have our study group on a Wednesday, and that's my main opportunity to discuss how we read God's word and how we then implement it in our lives, what it actually, how it translates into how we live. And so it's really important to do that. I think it's really important to do that. And I also listen to podcasts that really open up God's words. And you do have to be quite choosy with your podcasts, because there's a lot of podcasts out there. But if you can find a good podcast, then if you're far better at listening to things than you are at reading, then that's a really good way of immersing yourself in God's word. And I like to praise him as well. And for me, that's about choosing to spend some of my time listening to praise songs and worship songs. And I find that makes a difference to my whole outlook, actually. If I listen to praise songs in the car, it lifts my spirits and refocuses me in a good way. So do think about how you can live in this way, loving God with all your heart. And what about the other bit? Love your neighbour as yourself. I mean, for me, that's about me being generous with my time and my resources. It's about making the effort to stand up for people who haven't got a voice, to add my voice to things like Amnesty Writing for Rights, which Mark and Sue organise each year. And it's a very small amount of time and effort that we give, but it has an enormous effect. Even if that enormous effect is just for one person to be released out of jail, that is life-changing for them, and life-changing for the things that they represent. Amnesty, if you're not aware, it's an organisation that fights for the rights of those who may not be being heard or are being oppressed for their beliefs, or their chosen way of living. And Amnesty is just one way that we can add our voice and stand up for justice. And Messy Church is important to me because it's a way of reaching out to people in our community and introducing them to Jesus. And I could go on. This church has so many outreach activities, and that's wonderful that so many of us are already involved in. And so there are so many ways that we can love our neighbour like ourselves. So, big changes ahead for us, and how do we respond to that? Perhaps we can spend time in this interim period between Christmas and New Year and think, right, okay, what's my New Year going to look like? What's 2025 going to look like for me? Will I live it any differently? Will I live it in a way that's going to inspire myself and others to live more like God wants us to? Thank you for listening, and I hope that has inspired you as we go into the new year. We're going to close our service with a last song.
Can we do the collection in the last song? Can we do the collection in the last song? I always forget collection.
Vision is abundant. You give us so much, Lord, and we thank you for it. And Lord, we give you something back, and even though it is small, we know that you can do amazing things with it. And so we thank you for your goodness to us, and we pray that you will bless others with the gifts that we bring to you. Amen. So we just close in prayer our time together. Thank you, God, that we can come together. And I pray that as we go home now, we will remember that the things that have been said here today, and that we might be inspired, and that we might think about how we're going to live our lives as new people in your new kingdom, Lord. New lives, Lord, that we'll be thinking about things in a different way, that we can bring about your kingdom on earth, Lord. And I pray that you will go with us every step away of the way, that we don't do things in our own strength, but Lord, that they are always in your strength, Lord, and for your glory. Amen.